This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. With me is TJ Inman and Matt Weaver from Pegs.com. We have a lot of news to cover, some good news, some bad news, some discouraging news all around. We touch it all today. But first, we have a word from our friends over at Bet Online. So sports are beginning to return. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline.ag. With UFC, NASCAR, Formula One, and the EPL in full swing, there's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. Need more? BetOnline has simulated NFL Madden games, NBA 2K, and UFC happening every day for you to watch and wager on as well. As the MLB, NBA, and NFL near a return, BetOnline has futures odds on everything you can imagine. Season win totals, division odds, championship odds, and more. Make sure to visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device. Join now and receive your new welcome bonus. All right. So let's get into things. News this week. The good news for IU is Tyler Mullen was named to the Bednarik Award watch list. That's a huge honor, especially as a true sophomore. He's one of 11 sophomores on that list. So that's a big deal. I know people don't get worked up about watch lists, but it is, hey, it's 2020 and it's some good news. So let's throw a party on it. Anyway, the other news that came out, the Big Ten on Thursday announced that they were going conference only games, which means Indiana loses games against Ball State, Western Kentucky, and UConn. Three games that should have been wins. And it looks like they'll pick up another conference game and go to 10 games. It's all out of safety for the players and coaches and people in the athletic department. We'll see if we actually have a season and what happens with the schedule. Right now, with those three games wiped out, Indiana opens at Wisconsin September 4th. It doesn't play another game until October 12th, the homecoming matchup, I believe, against or October 10th against Maryland. So there's going to be finagling with the schedule. It's coming. We don't know the details. But let's bring in Matt and TJ. We'll start off with TJ. TJ, how are you feeling? Are you sinking with the ship, or are we feeling a little bit more optimistic than we were last week?
Oh, I'd say probably just about the same level of optimism, which is low. Low optimism because the numbers continue to surge around the country. At this point, it really does feel for me, the question now comes to not whether or not we're going to have a college football season, but kind of whether we should have a college football season, whether I even want one in this form. If we got 10 games, I would be beyond ecstatic at this point, but I really don't see that being a feasible or realistic notion at this point in time. I think the Big Ten has taken the only step they could take right now, and it gets you where everybody is on kind of level footing. You can guarantee more or less that you have the same testing protocols with each of your opponents. So I think that that's a necessary step, but you know, I just don't know if come say the second week of August, a month from now, if we'll be looking at any season at all. My optimism regarding that would be low. I'm hopeful that some games can get played or that we can, you know, begin discussing a spring schedule. But right now, I've got to say that I don't envision anything remotely resembling a college football season happening in September.
Yeah, Matt, we've had lots of discussions on this as well. What are your feelings on this whole situation? And then the impact of losing those three games, which should have been three wins. And then if you look at a 10-game conference schedule, you know, do people look at a 5-5 season the same way that an 8-4 season might have been?
Well, I mean, I'm with TJ where, you know, I'm cautiously optimistic, but definitely concerned because of the trend you're seeing across the country, you know, as far as the virus numbers going back up and going in the wrong direction. But, you know, hopefully it turns around. You know, it's not looking great. And, you know, my hopefulness for a fall college football season, you know, this kind of feels like when they, you know, stopped the conference tournaments in college basketball in March and said, well, we're still going to do the NCAA tournament. And then, you know, a week later, whatever it was, that was then canceled. I'm not saying it's going to be that kind of, but it just feels like it's kind of snowballing to that kind of same outcome. And hopefully it's not, but not trying to be a negative nilly here, but that's kind of how it feels. As far as the impact of losing the non-conference game, well, obviously, like you said, those are, you know, Western Kentucky wasn't going to be an easy one. I think it was a game Indiana would win, but it was not going to be an easy game, especially if you didn't come out to play. Connecticut obviously is not very good. And then Ball State's a game, obviously, where another game where it would be a little bit of a test. They gave Indiana a good battle last year. But it was three games that you felt pretty good about and then get you halfway to bowl eligibility. You know, 5-5, I guess it depends on who your 10th game is, part of it. But, you know, if you go – and the other thing is, I don't know if you saw this, Adam Rittenberg reported that if they do play the 10, they are able to play the schedule, they're going to front load the game. So Indiana, I don't think, would start at Wisconsin. I think they would start with all Eastern Division opponents for the first 5 weeks and then move on to the Western Division opponents. So that would change things. And if you go like whatever, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, back to back to back, well, that's brutal. That's tough. So I guess a lot of it would depend on how the schedule plays out for you. What's the order of the games and when do you play them? So, but I mean, if you went 5-5, you know, maybe 6-4, to me, that's a pretty good season considering the competition that Indiana would have to go against this year.
Yeah, and we'll keep an eye on, you know, whether schedules – it's getting to that time where decisions have to be made. It's, you know, this would be, I think, the week coming up would be the week we were at Media Days and getting fall camp started and things like that. So decisions are going to be made. I agree with you, Matt. It kind of feels like it did in March where you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And, you know, it comes down to, you know, all right, there's a billions of dollars at stake in terms of athletic departments, but are we really going to put a money label on the lives of the staffs and players and student athletes and stuff like that? So, and being a teacher in Indianapolis, it's the same thing. I get it. I understand that people are sick of their kids in the house and you need to teach in person and things like that. But at what cost of life is that going to be like? So, you know, maybe they punt until September, maybe they punt until the spring, and we'll see. But, you know, you saw Stanford cut 11 sports, and those are the sports that Stanford is known for, like rowing, swimming, synchronized swimming, diving. Like, those are Stanford's staple sports, and they cut all of them. Hopefully they just make them a varsity or a club sport and move it back up to varsity once all this stuff blows through. I'd feel a lot more comfortable if something other than soccer has come back. You know, we're seeing baseball's trying to come back. Basketball's close to coming back. Hockey's close to coming back, although hockey's being played in Canada. And their restrictions have been a lot different. They've handled it a lot better than we have and things like that. So I'd feel a lot more comfortable if something came back and then we could see. But right now it's, you know, everybody's getting their hopes up one day and down the next. As far as the high school impact, Matt, you know, what happens to guys, and we'll start with high school and then move on to college. They miss their senior seasons. How does this affect their recruiting? you know, guys haven't been able to get on campus yet. And a lot of those guys, you know, those juniors who are now becoming seniors like to take those summer visits. How big of an impact is this going to be, not only for IU, but every single high school student looking to play ball at the next level?
Well, I think the biggest impact for guys that schools like Indiana and other Big Ten schools have offered and are recruiting heavily, not playing obviously is not great, but as far as the recruiting, it's probably not going to be a huge impact just because those guys already have offers and they have those options. Where it hurts is the guys who maybe didn't have a bunch of offers. Carson Steele from Center Grove would be a good example. Got hurt last year, has put up big numbers, but really needed, you know, this fall was going to be big for him. He's gotten a few, like, smaller school, 1AA, like Indiana State top offers. That kind of kid who needed who needs that senior season to get eyes on him, to get more recognition, to get more, you know, recruiting attention. Those are the guys that are going to be hurt. Guys that are kind of late bloomers that have maybe a few offers, or they're kind of on the, you know, coaches know about them, but they haven't, you know, seen enough yet to extend an offer. Those guys really, you know, it's going to be a tough deal if they can't play for them, because those are the guys that are going to miss out on some real opportunities. You know, the higher profile recruits, you know, rightly or wrongly, they're probably going to be okay. But it's those guys that are kind of down a little bit that, you know, and there's been guys from Indiana that they've offered after seeing them play three or four games, and not just in this state, but across the country. And those guys who are kind of waiting to show coaches what they can do, you know, it's a blow. There's just no other way to put it. It's really going to hurt them, and they don't have any other avenue to try to showcase their talent. And most likely they're going to have to go down a level, I guess, or maybe take a walk-on offer and see if they can get a scholarship down the road. Other than that, it's the doors kind of get shut on them as far as recruiting goes, you know, in the traditional sense of getting an offer.
And then as far as, let's say they move, either cancel the season or move it to spring, just like they did with spring sports, and offer the seniors another year of eligibility, what has to happen for scholarship numbers? You know, I think IU graduates somewhere between 10 and 12 guys and things like that. But how about those schools where they could have 20 seniors coming back and things like that, and have to go from 85 scholarships to maybe 100 scholarships and things like that? How big of an impact is that going to have?
Well, that's a great question, because, like, yeah, there's some schools that already have like 20 commitments, and I'm guessing they probably are going to expecting 20 seniors. Now, maybe those schools have a couple guys that are good enough to go pro, but more than likely, a lot of those guys could come back and would come back. I mean, you look at Indiana, what number do you put it at? Like, do you go back to 105 like it used to be, you know, years ago? I mean, I don't understand. Is it different for every school? I would think you just make it a flat number, because that wouldn't be fair if one school gets 110 and one school gets 98 or whatever it may be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you do that. It's an interesting question, because what are you going to do? Are you going to tell some seniors? I mean, like a Watt Fillier in Indiana's case, or Peyton Hendershot or Caleb Jones, these are guys that have NFL futures, but probably have not done enough to – I mean, like in Watt's case, if he had done enough, he probably would have gone pro already. So they need that another year of play. So they would have to – let's say they don't have a season at all. There's no spring season. He'll get a fifth year. You know, these other guys will get an extra year. But what do you do with the freshmen that you recruited and offered scholarship to and taken commitments from, who are supposed to be taking their spots come 2021? It's a dilemma. It's going to be a minefield for the NCAA to work through.
Definitely. TJ, any questions?
Well, I must say, I a minefield for the NCAA to work with. I'm not particularly confident in their ability to navigate that minefield all that well so far. And I understand that there are certainly limitations to what they can do. But as far as stepping forward and showing any type of leadership through this, the NCAA has been very noticeably absent and have largely, much like the federal government, just kind of put their hands up and say, well, you guys deal with it, you're good. Frustrating to that end. I know they don't have the power to make the decisions for the institutions. That's not their role. I get that, but I would love to see some type of leadership from the governing body of the NCAA. That being said, Matt, my question would be, what do you think the, and this is impossible to really know, but how do you view this impacting college football? Let's make the assumption that no power conferences will play any non-conference games, but that we do get at least conference seasons. So let's make that leap. And given that, what impact do you think this is going to have on the smaller schools? Let's take a Western Kentucky and a Ball State, a team from the MAC and a team from, you know, for Western Kentucky from Conference USA. What impact do you view not having those bye games, if you will, those paychecks, having on those athletic programs and those football programs moving forward? Do you think it's a case where we're going to see quite a few kind of lower FBS level just not be able to continue with football?
Well, I would think schools like Western Kentucky and Ball State would continue with football, but I think their athletic programs, obviously, I mean, look at Stanford. Sammy mentioned they cut 11 sports, and they're in the Pac-12. They've got, you know, maybe not the kind of money that you have in the Big Ten or the SEC, but they're still getting good television money, and they cut 11 sports. A Ball State, a Western Kentucky, you know, they're probably going to have to strip it down as much as they can and still keep their main, you know, revenue sports. But like some of the really smaller schools, I mean, I'm trying to think something offhand, but, you know, the ones that are even kind of below that, the lower level, you know, they may be in trouble. You wonder about some of the FCS programs. Are they going to be able to continue? We've seen a couple at that level shut down football in the last couple of years. Not a lot, but I think like Jacksonville or something down in Florida is 1AA. They shut their program down. So is that going to happen because of this? Because, you know, it's just such a blow financially to these schools. So, you know, there's a story in the Star about, well, Indiana and these other schools have to pay because they broke contracts. Does this count as the kind of language that they can get out of? It'll be interesting to see what happens there. You know, they would have to pay $750,000, I think, to a couple of schools if they're held that they still have to pay. So it's a pretty big chunk of money for Indiana when you're losing a bunch, obviously, with what's going on. But it's a tough deal. It's tough for those smaller schools. I understand why the Big Ten did it. I think it's right. You have to protect your own interests. It seems kind of cold-hearted, but the bottom line is, you know, not only do you have to make sure all this testing and everything's the same, everybody's on the same page. If there has to be some kind of a stoppage in play, if you get the season started, everybody can kind of navigate it together. Whereas if you have non-conference games, it's really tough to do that. But I would have to imagine that, you know, some of this is to protect the Big Ten's interest so that they can try to have some kind of a season. And mm-hmm. if you play non-conference games and a non-conference team gets a bunch of players sick on one Big Ten team, they can't play for 2 or 3 weeks, then you've just – it wrecks everything and it makes it tougher. I think it's going to be tough, like you said, anyways. But this at least gives you a fighting chance to have a season.
Yeah. And let's get another word in from our partners over at BetOnline and Manscaped. Again, sports are beginning to slowly come back with UFC, NASCAR, Formula One, and the EPL in full swing. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. If you need more, BetOnline does have simulated Madden games, NBA 2K, and UFC happening every day for you to watch and wager on. MLB, NBA, and NFL also have future bets available to put money on as well. Season win totals, division odds, championship odds. Make sure you visit betonline.ag on your computer or mobile device to join now and receive your new welcome bonus. As far as Manscaped, if you have trouble with nicks and cuts, you don't have the right equipment for manscaping, head over to manscaped.com, use the promo code armchair, and you get 20% off plus free shipping on your first order. So your body will thank you. All right, Matt, let's get into some recruiting talk. IU had a little bit of a run there. I forgot what month it was, in June. But who knows? What's next? Who's going to pop next? Josh Sales he put his date at August 1st and things like that. Who's in the pipeline coming down the highway?
Well, you mentioned Josh Sales. Yeah, he tweeted recently that August 1st is when he's going to make his announcement. Maurice Freeman, the safety out of Chesapeake, Virginia, he is also going to announce on August 1st. So those are two top targets, two guys that I like, I use chances with, and it could be a big day, the first day of August for the IU football program and getting two guys that really feel a need, two really talented players. And obviously, Josh Sales being the O-tackle, so hard to find those guys. And, you know, if they could get him. And, you know, obviously I think he's down to, I want to say Purdue and maybe like Arizona State. Recently came out as like top three or four. So, you know, it'd be a chance to beat your in-state rival and to keep a talented player in Bloomington. And then Maurice Freeman's just a really physical, athletic, explosive DB. Could play safety, could play Husky, may even grow into a Stinger linebacker. But, you know, he's the kind of guy that could come in a year or two, really be a big, impactful guy on your defense. And they've already got Aubrey Burks there at safety and then Larry Smith at corner. So doing a nice job, you know, addressing the secondary. And you know, hopefully they get a double dose of good news here in a few weeks.
Awesome. Anybody else there? Are they looking at heading into the fall or because this would be commit 11 and 12, right?
Correct.
Or is it more play it by ear and see what happens?
I think it's more play it by ear. There could be some other guys. I mean, you know, guys say they're going to announce, they're going to put off. Excuse me. I think as we get closer, if there is, I mean, if, you know, high school football is looking really, really iffy. But if it looks like there could be a season for some guys and they want to get it over with, then maybe they get it over with. You know, Max Merrill, an O lineman out of Texas, is another guy they like. And I think he's a guy that could commit, you know, before the season. Set a date. I've messaged with him a little bit, not giving any indication that he could, but he's a guy that I think could be someone who commits. DN-wise, Garen Stansberry out of Louisiana, a guy that's one of their top DN targets right now. He's told me that he would like to do it, you know, in August, you know, if he has a season before the season starts. Cole Nelson from out of Georgia, another DN target. It's a guy that could, you know, you could see him pop. So these aren't written in stone. These are just guys that if I had to guess, gun to my head, pick other than the two that we know about, that we talked about. These are some guys that I think could, you know, pull the trigger and maybe make an announcement here in the next, you know, month or so.
Go ahead, TJ.
I mean, position-wise, it seems like a couple offensive linemen, a couple defensive ends, a safety, and then maybe a wide receiver. You think that's probably what the staff is looking for, barring, you know, some unforeseen developments?
Yeah, I mean, right now, if I had to guess, I know at one time they were talking four DNs. I don't know if they'll take three more. I think two for sure. I wouldn't be shocked by three, but I think two. I think they're looking to take two more safeties. So after Maurice Freeman, guys like Damon David from out of the D.C. area, MJ Daniels from Mississippi, Jordan Greer from Georgia, those are the top guys. Another receiver, maybe two if there's an open spot, but you probably need some attrition. And then two tackles. So Josh Sales. Now they could take three if two guys would commit that they would be willing to take would commit before Josh Sales. That seems really unlikely because they'd have to commit in the next 2 weeks. They would take him no matter what. But yeah, Most likely it'll be Josh Sales, and then if they get him, Josh Sales and somebody else. You know, like I mentioned, Max Merrill, Enrique Cruz out of the Chicago area. Isaiah Glass from Arizona. I did a story on him today. He came across country and made one of those visits where he just basically walks around campus. Recently, he did that, visited a number of schools, and Indiana was one of them. So, yeah, I think you're about right, TJ. Two DNs, couple safeties, couple O tackles, and then, you know, maybe a receiver.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for coming on and talking. I know there's a lot of everybody has a lot of questions. A lot of them are unanswerable. Our fingers are crossed for some sort of college football season. Hopefully it doesn't start and stop. I'll take the 10 games. But we are looking out, and we want everybody to be safe and things like that. And, look, we'll be fine as a site. We'll figure it out. But we would love college football, but everybody, it would suck to lose somebody from COVID because
we wear a mask. Wear a mask. Wear a mask. It's not that bad.
It's not. And I'm going to have to teach PE when it's 100 degrees outside and one. So it's not too bad. And we'll see. So wear a mask. We'll get college football back eventually. And hopefully everybody stays safe. But thank you guys for joining me this evening.
Thanks so much for having me, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Stay safe, everybody. And hopefully we'll have some good news in the not too distant future.
All right. That does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast this evening. A big thanks to Matt Weaver for jumping on with us today and talking some college football. I know we asked a lot of questions that are very, very difficult to answer, and we'll see. So keep following HoosierHuddle.com. We'll have all the updates. We don't like to speculate much on what is going to happen or what might happen, and we'll just put things out as the conference and as IU announces them and things like that, and then we'll get into it. The countdown is continuing until otherwise told. So come back every day, check out the player of the day and things like that. Also give us a follow on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle and follow us on Facebook. And we have a final announcement from Armchair Media. So following the senseless murders of Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, George Floyd, and countless other Black community members at the hands of police officers, we want to ensure we do what we can to make a tangible impact on these communities as we grow. Armchair Media will be issuing four $500 scholarships per semester to aspiring Black creatives. If you've ever been dismissed as having unrealistic career path, if you've ever butted heads with parents or teachers because they don't recognize exactly what you want to do with your life, if you've feared to express yourself or put your work into the world, due to potential backlash, we strongly encourage you to apply. We recognize that there are creatives out there who may have bypassed college to pursue other avenues, who didn't get into college because their passions didn't translate to college testing, or who did not have access to the financial means to pay for college. This is why there are only three requirements for eligibility. You have to be a Black creative under the age of 21, and you have to submit a project, whether it's graphic design, photography, writing, audiovisual, journalism, creative writing, or more, to scholarship at armchairallamericans.com. So a great opportunity from Armchair All Americans. And hopefully they get their applications out and things like that. And we could give everybody an avenue to chase their dreams. All right, that does it for the podcast tonight. Thanks for everybody for listening. We'll be back next week, hopefully with some better news and things like that. So take care and good evening.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.